Welcome back. In this advanced lesson, we're building something way more useful than just one cool base patch. We're building a signature Reese architecture for faster workflow in Ableton Live, and that wording matters. Architecture, because in drum and bass, especially around 174 BPM, the Reese isn't just a sound, it's a system. The producers who move fastest are not reinventing the bass from scratch every session. They've already built a rack that knows its job. It already has the sub separated, the mid movement ready, the grit under control, the top texture available, and the resampling path waiting. That is what we're making here, a reusable production template you can trust across track after track. By the end, you'll have a multi-layer rack with a sub-layer, a body layer, a grit layer, an optional air layer, macro controls for performance and variation, and a resampling workflow that gets you out of endless tweaking mode and into arrangement mode much faster. And that's the real win. Not just a nasty Reese and solo, but a bass workflow that actually helps you finish drum and bass. First, set the session context before you touch the bass. Put your tempo somewhere between 172 and 176 BPM. Pick a practical key for sub-translation, something like F, F-sharp, G, or G-sharp. Load a simple rolling DNB drum loop. And if you can, pull in one dark reference track just so your ears have some tonal perspective. This is important because a Reese built-in solo usually lies to you. It ends up too wide in the low mids, too distorted, too busy, or way too bright once the drums come in. So build against a beat, always, even a rough one. That instantly keeps your decisions more musical. Now create a new MIDI track and drop in an instrument rack. Inside that rack, make four chains and label them clearly: sub, body, grit, and air. If you want a pro workflow touch, color code them now. It sounds minor, but tiny speed decisions add up. When your session gets busy later, visual organization saves you. Before designing the sound, think in gain stages, not just layers. Decide roughly where each layer should live in level. The sub should be strongest but clean. The body should sit slightly below the sub. The grit should sound quieter than you think in solo. And the air should almost disappear until you mute it. That balance will make your macros behave better, your distortion feel more intentional, and your resamples come out cleaner. Let's build the sub first. On the sub chain, load operator, then EQ8, then saturator, then utility. In operator, keep it simple. One oscillator only. Use a sine wave, or if you want a touch more firmness, a triangle. Set the amp envelope with a short attack around 5 milliseconds, a decay around 1.2 seconds, sustain somewhere between minus 6 and minus 3 dB depending on how held you want the phrase, and a release around 120 milliseconds. For now, let the sub follow the same MIDI as the body. Later, if you want the pro move, you can split the MIDI and simplify the sub pattern separately. That's actually a huge workflow upgrade, because your upper layers can dance while the sub stays steady and mix-friendly. In EQ8, low pass gently around 120 to 150 Hz. If a specific note is booming too hard, make a tiny dip around 50 to 70 Hz. Keep it subtle. Then add saturator in analog clip mode with maybe 1.5 to 3 dB of drive, soft clip on, and level matched output. This is not to make the sub dirty, it's just to give it a little harmonic support, so it reads better on smaller systems. Finally, on utility, set width to 0%, enable bass mono, and adjust the gain so the sub feels present but not oversized. And here's the key idea. Your sub should sound boring in solo. That's good. If the sub is entertaining by itself, it usually becomes a problem later. In drum and bass, boring sub is often professional sub. Now for the body chain, which is the real Reese core. On the body chain, load wave-eatable or operator, then auto-filter, chorus ensemble, saturator, EQ8, and utility. Wave-eatable is usually the faster choice here, because modulation is clear and visual. In wave-eatable, set both oscillators to saw waves. Detune oscillator 2 by roughly 7 to 18 cents. But don't overdo it. This is one of the biggest Reese myths. A lot of modern rollers are much tighter than people expect. Try 6 to 10 cents for focused movement, 12 to 18 for fuller body, and only push beyond that if you really want exaggerated instability. Set polyphony low, or even switch to mono if the phrase needs to lock. Add glide around 20 to 60 milliseconds if you want note slides. For the filter, keep the synth itself fairly open to begin with. Let the rack do the heavy tone shaping. That gives you more consistency and faster control later. Now use auto filter after the synth for movement. Choose a low pass style like LP24 or MS2. Start with a cutoff somewhere between 250 Hz and 1.5 kHz depending on how dark or open you want the body. resonance around 10 to 25% is a good range. Add a little drive if useful. Then bring in the filter LFO. Try a sine or slightly warped triangle. Use synced rates like quarter note, eighth note, or 3/16 if you want phrase-locked movement, or go unsynced around 0.15 to 0.45 Hz for slower drift. Keep the amount fairly restrained at first. A really strong workflow tip here is to think in movement modes, not endless automation. Make one macro state for a slow rolling movement, and another for a faster fill movement. That way the bass can evolve across the arrangement without you loading a whole new patch. Next, use chorus ensemble carefully for width. Set it to chorus mode, amount around 0.15 to 0.35, rate around 0.2 to 0.6 Hz, mix around 15 to 35%. Subtle is the word. Too much chorus gives you low mid fog, mono collapse, and a weak center. The reese should feel wider in the mids, not disconnected from the track. Then add saturator after the movement stage. This is important. Distorting after movement tends to glue the motion together in a much more musical way. This audio version is shortened for playback.